Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Thursday, August 27th, and we come off another Phillies victory. How about it? The Phillies winning their third straight game with the win last night in Washington, as they've now won the series. How about ya? Against the Washington Nationals. Pretty thrilling stuff there, as the Phillies now move to 12-14 on the season, knocking the Nationals back to 11-17. How's the basement feel, Washington? I guess we can't really rip them too much. They did win the World Series last year, but we'll do it anyway. Listen, it was nice to see the Phillies take it last night. We've been talking a little bit about the hope for them to get on a roll, and they have been so reluctant to do that for the last couple years. But again, a hard-fought win last night in Washington, a game where fought back from being down late-ish, and the bullpen held on by the skin of their teeth. I mean, Brandon Workman, geez, that guy likes to make us sweat, but ultimately gets the job done as the Phillies win it 3-4. A fun game to watch, as it was a tight, tough game. Aaron Nola, really great, threw a lot of pitches, 113 pitches, battles through seven innings, only allows seven base runners, five hits, two walks, only allows two earned runs and eight strikeouts. Does end up getting the win as the Phillies are able to score two runs in the bottom of the seventh left. In the top of the seventh, so left with the lead. But the Phillies, he was pitching down 2-1 for a little while there. As the Phillies got out, the Phillies did not get out to a lead, down 1-0 early on a Juan Soto opposite field 415-foot blast. He just muscled that ball out of the park. Very impressive. Juan Soto is hard to believe he's as good as he is, as young as he is, as big as he is. Just a legitimate freak of nature, Juan Soto. And not someone I'm excited to see in our division for the next decade plus or whatever. But Soto gets him started early in the second inning. It really didn't even seem like that bad a pitch, but just able to muscle it out of left field. Reese Hoskins, though, in the third, gets it right back to make it a 1-1 game. Reese Hoskins, a blast to left field, and I dare say the most Reese Hoskins home run we've seen in a long time. It felt like a Reese shot. The swing looked right. The ball jumped off the bat. Granted, it was a 64-mile-per-hour curveball that he launched, so, that's one of those ones that if you could time it right, you should be able to just smoke. And Reese did and launched it over the left field fence, left center field fence, a monster shot. And it was just awesome to see. Reese is really, really turning things around. And, it was nerve-wracking at the beginning of the season for obvious reasons, as we were coming off just the, you know, most disastrous possible second half a player could possibly have. One of the worst players in baseball, certainly the worst Philly over that second half of the season. And started the season, this season off rough, walking a lot, which was really nice to see, getting on base. That didn't go away. And didn't last year as much, like in the second half it did, for sure, but still ended the season with a 376 OBP. So that was always something that was least consistent. But he's finally starting to get going, and really over the last few weeks, starting to look like Rhys Hoskins again. You know, he has three homers, but they've all come in the last week, you know. So it's exciting. Signs of encouragement with Rhys Hoskins. Now, he's not back to being Masher Rhys 35 to 40 homer candidate in a normal season, but he's a pretty darn good two-hole hitter right now. You know, it's he's getting on base a lot. He's scoring runs. He's hitting just enough. He's throwing a couple home runs in. I'm excited about where he's headed. You know, more bullish than I've been. You know, at 423 OBP, the 398 slugging is obviously far lower than you want to see. But I mean, that's an 821 OPS. I mean, that'll play. You know, that's a major league, solid major league player. You know what I mean? So it's good to see. It's really good to see, and I hope this continues because it's such an important part of this offense's viability to be not just a good one, but a great one. You know, and I think that very clearly with how this team is put together, and, you know, we're starting to see some certain pitchers start to pitch a little better. We'll get to one of them in a couple minutes. But ultimately, as we know, this team is truly going to have to slug its way to any sort of glory it's going to achieve this year. And having Rhys Hoskins slugging, as it were, at any level is major. It's crucially important for this team's chances. And it's really a positive. It's a real positive. And I'm hopeful it continues because, again, it's something that can really change the dynamic of this team and, you know, of this lineup. The Phillies go down in the fourth, unfortunately, give up a run on that Howie Kendrick single, our old friend Howie, to make it 2-1. But the seventh inning, the Phillies come through. Didi Gregorius starts the inning off with a triple, a shot, and able to scamper around a third. And then Alec Bohm, an RBI single. Alec Bohm is just a hitter. I mean, even his outs are impressive. He had a one out where he just, it was a to right center field, kind of like his home run that he hit the other night in Atlanta. Just a little bit more on it would have been gone. It was a massive shot, and they got to it. But boom, you know, just continues to get hits when it matters. And it's been really, really nice to see. Gets the RBI single there. And then ultimately, later that inning, Roman Quinn comes in running comes in for Scott Kingery on second base, and Bryce Harper, a soft single to left, and Roman Quinn screams around and scores, and the Phillies take a 3-2 lead. Now, don't get me wrong, the Phillies had multiple opportunities in this game to score runs that they weren't able to capitalize on. That's certainly something, you know, you don't want to see a lot of, you don't want to see a continuous thing with or whatever. But ultimately, you know, this was a really nice to see them down 2-1 in that spot in the seventh inning, fighting Nola, gutting it out, going to 113, able to pitch one more inning after that. But you know you are going to need runs here. And really timely hitting from Bryce Harper. Didi, that triple was monster. Really the guy who got it going and tied the game ultimately is, you know, obviously Bohm singled him in, but a runner on third with no outs is something you should convert. But the Phillies did have opportunities, even the first inning, first and second, no out, unable to convert on that, and a couple other spots in the game, unable to convert. But ultimately, got just enough. And then, after Nola guts it out for seven innings, 113 pitches, I believe I saw on Twitter it was the fourth most he has ever thrown in a game. So Girardi really letting him go there, which, you know, obviously is certainly a symbol of the bullpen and Girardi's lack of confidence in it, but I also think showing that he's trusting Nola more and that Nola's in a good spot from a health perspective, and that I think look, this is where we see the benefits from Joe Girardi playing it so cautious to start the season. You know, a lot of people are giving him flack, pulling pitchers too early, going to a bullpen that, you know, is horrible, was certainly horrible at the time. And, you know, he said, look, I'm not going to endanger their arms. This is, you know, there's a lot of injuries around baseball. We're not going to mess with that. And he was right. There are tons of injuries around baseball to starting pitchers, important starting pitchers. And the Phillies have kind of come out of it unscathed, you know, from a starting pitching perspective. And I honestly think Joe Girardi deserves a lot of credit for that by not pushing these guys too hard, too fast. And it's not something we've talked a lot about with Girardi. It's not something I've heard him get a lot of credit for, but I don't know. I'm giving him credit for it. I thought it was smart at the time to play it safe with those guys. And I think it's bearing out. You know, I think we're seeing that Girardi was right. He was right to do that. And I'm happy to see it. And letting Nola go 113 last night was, you know, showing that Nola's there and he's ready and he's in full season form. And that was awesome. And they needed it because then who knew that finally Tommy Hunter, unstoppable. Tommy Hunter, another strong outing as he's been white hot. Tommy Hunter's ERA, believe it or not, is down to 3.97. My man's been pitching well. A clean inning. A strikeout in there. Got Juan Soto to end the inning, which was a big spot with a one-run lead there. Man, Tommy Hunter's been good the last few outings, and it seems like he is Joe Girardi's eighth inning guy. He's the guy we trust to come in and get outs in that spot. So we hope that, and look, Tommy Hunter is someone who has rounded into form the last few years as well. He's had injuries and stuff, but is a major league pitcher. You know, he's proven that he can get outs at the major league level, and he's starting to get some. We'll get to Tommy Hunter again later because he had some things to say to fans prior to the game from the night before. Which I really want to get to, but ultimately Tommy Hunter's starting to back it up and has looked good the last few innings. And I'm not saying that I don't feel incredibly nervous when Tommy Hunter comes into a game still. I do, just with most of these guys, all of these guys, every single guy in that bullpen. But Tommy Hunter's starting to at least push the arrow the other way, and it's exciting to see they need guys like that, especially with Jose Alvarez out a month. I mean, anyone you can count on to any varying degree is a massive, massive thing right now for this Phillies team. So Hunter's great in the eighth. Now Brandon Workman comes in for the ninth and he gets another save. Like that is second save as a Philly. But man, did Brandon Workman scare the hell out of us yet again. Workman ends up allowing runners on first and third with one out, is able to get a couple huge strikeouts to get out of the inning, ultimately gets a save, does not give up a run, got the job done. And look, you can see that hook is nasty. You know, he's got a real out pitch. But, man, he's scary. And we've not seen Brandon Workman be the as advertised dominant guy that that we were sold the bill of goods on so far. But ultimately got the job done. Look, we've had a lot of closers here to make it scary. I mean, life on a Lidge was a phrase for a reason, and ultimately Lidge got the job done, and that's all that mattered. Workman so far has been terrifying every time he's come out. It has not been clean. It has not been smooth. And look, at the same time, I don't know who else Joe Girardi would put in there. I mean, Hector Neris is a complete and total disaster at the moment. I don't even think Hector Neris should be pitching, much less in high-leverage situations. I mean, they have no high-leverage guys. I mean, Tommy Hunter, he's not a closer. And then Heath Hembree's been used in some spots and was really good in his first outing, was less good in his second outing, but was okay, gave up the home run. They just don't have guys you can count on, you know? I mean, especially in big spots. So, I don't know. I think Workman's got to be the guy. I don't think Workman, that's the funny thing about Workman. The Brandon Workman we've seen in Philly, and Philly's fans are just saying, you know, this sucks. Who the hell is this guy? Why do we trade for him? But Brandon Workman, the last year plus for Boston, has been lights out. I mean, he's been awesome. Legit, like a legit awesome pitcher and closed for them and has experience closing, which is something this bullpen doesn't have. So I think Brandon Workman's the right call by Girardi. I understand it. It makes sense to me. But at the same time, again, it is also frustrating because, you know, he hasn't been great so far and he's made it scary. But again, to his credit, he did get the outs when he needed it and worked himself out of a jam last night. You know, it was scary there for a moment. It was one of those, here we go again. That's been the refrain, you know, whenever this bullpen starts to make it seem like it's about to do what it does. And Workman got out of it, so props. You know, he did. And, again, not the best night for the offense, but they still had 12 hits. They just weren't able to convert. Even though they didn't score a lot of runs, they were on the bases. Andrew McCutchen averages up to .258. How about it? Batting 3-for-5 last night. Kutch has been really good. He's been hitting the ball hard. Even one of his outs last night, he hit the ball pretty hard. He's been great. Been really impressed with how Kutch is hitting the ball right now. Gosselin in the lineup, a couple hits, because, of course, Didi had a couple hits. Again, 12 hits as a team, they just weren't able to convert. But ultimately, I think on the whole, an impressive win. You know, I granted, it does appear like the Nationals are just not very good. So, you know, that's something to take into account. But, hey, Phillies need to win games, and they're doing it over the last three. And they need to continue. Sweep the Nats. Sweep the Nats. Really get that doubleheader taste at the disaster in Toronto and then the two rough losses in Atlanta out of your mouth. Sweep the Nats. Then you got Atlanta again. You're home. They're coming home for 7. Nats, Nationals, big games. 3 against the Braves this weekend, then the Nats here in Philly. Let's go. It's go time. This Phillies team is again, as we've discussed, it's going to be halfway through the season after this weekend. 4 more games tonight and then the weekend, and we're halfway through the season. So let's go. It's go time. All right. Before we look ahead to tonight and look at the standings quickly, I did want to mention Tommy Hunter as he spoke out after Tuesday night's win over the Nationals and spoke to the fans and talking about himself and the bullpen. Jim Salisbury had a good article about it on NBC Sports Philly, but you know, he basically said, talking about him and his bullpen mates, and that they hear the talk, you know, and that they know that they're being ripped and being criticized and blamed for a slow start, as Salisbury puts it. And here's what Hunter had to say. He said, "Yeah, it pisses you off." Salisbury says, he says, "Yeah, it pisses you off about the criticism." Salisbury says, "But any self-respecting competitor will tell you, criticism can be a great motivator, and it has been for Hunter." Hunter, quote-unquote, says, "That's the thing, man. I come in every day like everyone else. We want to win the baseball game at the end of the day. There are no days that we come in and want to work harder than what we're giving. That's the thing. We're giving everything we have. Sorry it wasn't good enough. But it's not like we're giving more now because we're getting a little bit of heat. We've been the same guys showing up every day with the same mindset, and the results are working for us now. You can put as many numbers as you want in there, and what it boils down to is who basically wants it more. And there's not a single person on this club that does not want to win a World Series. That's our goal. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to try and do that until somebody tells us we can't. That's it." He finishes up by saying, "We want to win, and that's what our fan base needs to know. The team wants to win really bad, and so do I. I have 3 runner-up rings sitting in a coat closet, and I don't like them. I want to win, and so does everyone else." It's great. I really appreciate that from Tommy Hunter. And look, I get that the bullpen can be frustrated by the criticism from the fan base, but at the same time, the criticism's warranted. And I appreciate these using it as a motivator rather than as a something to hurt over or whatever, because it's all warranted and it's all part of the gig. This is what we do, you know. You play the game, we talk about the game. It's what we do. And I think it's fair to criticize players when they're struggling. And look, no one's making personal comments about them. It's just, you know, you're not doing a good job. And I also appreciate that they care. You know what I mean? Good. I hope it motivates you. I hope it gets you angry, you know, and I hope it, you know, gets that fire going. That's great. That's awesome, because that's what we do here. We're in Philadelphia. If you struggle, we're going to call you out for it if it's deserved, you know, if it's warranted. and ask you to be better. And look, and I think the message that he's put out there about the how bad they want to win and all that, I think that's great. I appreciate it. And look, I'm a big proponent of remembering that baseball players, athletes, period, are humans, and they are not robots put out to do our bidding and to do great athletic feats for us because we want them to. It's not, that's not what it is. They're people, and they're subject to the same human emotions and all that we are. And as a result, I understand why this stuff can be frustrating and upsetting. And I believe that they want to win. I believe that they care. And I think the biggest thing I would say to Tommy Hunter in response is, Tommy, it's not you that we're ripping. It's the people who put this bullpen together. You know, it's that this team didn't have enough good pitchers. But I appreciate Tommy Hunter speaking out. I appreciate him sticking up for his teammates. And I take what he says to heart. And I do appreciate that they want to win that bad because that's what we want too. You know, that's where it all comes from. All the criticism, all the whatever, you know, this and that is all just from a place of passion and a place of wanting a title and wanting to win. And that's all that matters to all of us. You know, we're there with you, Tom. Like, we are there with you, brother. And I think that that's something that you know, we share. And we root for this team our whole lives. Like, there's nothing we care about more or want more. We love it. So, I appreciate hearing it. And I do think it's important to remember that athletes are humans. And I understand why, you know, it could be frustrating. But again, you know, you're historically bad as a bullpen. There's going to be criticism rolled your way, especially in this city. And again, I think it's warranted. But I do understand where he's coming from. And I do think that the criticism is not their fault. Like, they are doing the best they can. I understand that. Sometimes they're just not good enough. Speaking of which, Austin Davis has been traded to the Pirates for a player to be named later. Again, I'm not going to lie. I'm very happy with this news. I can't believe anyone took him. I player back has got to be a mascot or something. I'll take it. I don't care. Austin Davis is not a good major league pitcher. That's not me saying Austin Davis is a bad guy or I don't like him or whatever. I just don't need to see him pitch for my team because he's not good. So, you know, there you go, Tom. That's what it is. It's all good. I appreciate that, you know, you guys are a part of my team, and when you do well, I'm going to cheer my butt off for you. But when you're bad, then I'm going to not want you to pitch for my team. So I think it's simple, and I think it's fair. I think it's legitimately fair. And again, ultimately, I do think that I appreciate what Tommy Hunter had to say on a basic level. All right, looking at the standings, how about those Phillies? Now ahead of both the Mets and the Nationals. A game up on the Mets, two up on the Nats. They are right there in the thick of the wild card race, right behind the Giants. Half game back of the Giants, or a game behind the Giants, right there for that second wild card spot. And still behind the Braves and the Marlins, who continue to win, but not far behind. And the Phillies just need to keep winning baseball games. That's where they're at. You know, just keep winning games, as that is, you know, crucially important. They're very close, a half game back of the Giants right there. Only a game back of the Rockies for that other wild card. Neither of those teams is very good from a talent perspective, I'll tell you that. And look, let's be real. The Marlins aren't either. Somehow the Marlins keep winning games. I don't know how. It makes absolutely no sense to me, but it is what it is. The Marlins keep finding ways to win. They're 14-11. They're 3.5. They're 3.5 games up on the Phillies, but that is a very bridgeable gap. 2.5 games up on the Phillies. Is that right? Yes. They are. I'm trying to do math in my head as we look at the standings here, as again, the Phillies are at 14-11. The Marlins are, so the Phillies are, excuse me, they're 2.5 games back at the Nationals. So I was right. See, I'm a math guy. What can I say? No, that was bad. I'll own it. So they're right there. You know, all they got to do is start winning games. That's really what it comes down to. That's super, super important. And I believe they can, you know, I don't think any of the teams are outside the Braves are that impressive so far this season. So the Braves are certainly beatable. As the Phillies should have won 2 of 3 in Atlanta this weekend, they just weren't able to get it done. All right, looking ahead to tonight, big one tonight as the Phillies get the ace. 2-time Cy Young winner, 3-time, whatever it is. Max Scherzer, not cool. But, hey, Spencer Howard, a legit major league test for Spencer. Spencer will go up against the one, the only, Max Scherzer tonight against Washington. The last game of this series, a national game on Fox, 6:37 start for the Philadelphia Phillies against the Nats. That's a big one. And then again, this weekend, it's the Braves. The Braves coming to Philadelphia to face the Phils. That'll be a big one, a 7:05 on Friday, 1:15 on Saturday, and then a night game again, 7 o'clock. Back-to-back Sunday night games for the Phillies and the Braves, so that'll be fun as well. But it starts tonight. Let's win this series with the Nats and then head on to face Atlanta. Come home. As the Phillies, if they can, right now sitting at 9-6 against the NL East this year in total. So that'll play. This is if they can sweep the Nats, they have swept the Mets and the Nats. That's good stuff. So hopefully they can get it done. Either way, we'll be back to talk about it tomorrow. So until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you for listening to another edition of Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.